joined by Nick Faribault in studio of Penn Live. Nick, I'm really curious about what's going to happen with TJ Watt, because we know the contract situation has been a little bit murky. The waters with JJ saying on the McAfee show earlier this year, might have been last year, like, look, it would have been better if they just would have got this thing done and over with already before the Myles Garrett deal has been signed, before now TJ Watt was posting a couple of weeks ago the peace sign up with his fingers. What do you make of everything that's going on with Watt?
Contract negotiation stuff is really kind of how I view it. I don't think it's anything crazy other than that. Like, you're sparring for a number, right? Whether that's guarantees, whether that's average per year, whether that's front load, back load, whatever you want, they're sparring for something in this deal. Now, I don't think the Steelers are going to be kind of against paying him $40 a year. I don't think that's the issue. I think the guarantees might be the issue here. Myles Garrett got $123 million in guarantees on his four-year $160 deal. If they give him a three-year $120 deal, they're going to have to give him to kind of have an equivalent to that. You know, you're probably looking at like 85 to 90 of that guaranteed. I mean, that's a lot of guarantees.
That's a lot of money for a guy that's in his 30s.
Right. And so I think that's just what's happening here. They're just sparring on things. Is this going to get done? I think so. I don't think like we're in any trade territory. I don't think this is going to get ugly. Is he going to be at OTAs tomorrow? He wasn't at OTAs the first week last year.
So you don't expect him to be there?
I don't. If he's there, I'm not going to be stunned either. He is TJ Watt. He's a tireless worker. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's not there. And if he's not there, it's going to be made out to be a big fuss. And maybe it is a little bit of a message to send to the Steelers. But, you know, I don't exactly expect him to show up the first, you know, the fourth day of OTAs and do what Trey Hendrickson did, which is, you know, hold roll call with the media and then call out the organization, if you remember what he did 2 weeks ago. So I don't think TJ Watt's going to do that. But I do think if he's there, you know, it'll probably be in a hold-in capacity. We could easily see a 2021 repeat here where he's just off to the side, all training camp, doing his own thing.
Just watching.
Right. He's watching. And listen, that year TJ certainly didn't need any ramp-up. He was great in 2021. So as long as he's kind of good to go and staying in shape and everything, I think they're fine with that. But, yeah, we might have another hold-in saga here if they don't get it done soon enough. And I'm not sure if they will, because he doesn't have an incentive to sign right now unless they cave to his demands, because Micah Parsons and Aiden Hutchinson are both coming down the pipe here probably this summer as well.
Now, what do you most expect to see in OTAs? Like, what is the main draw to OTAs when you cover it?
Well, it's the first time we get to see team drills. And you know, that's the big thing. You know, we actually get to see a 7-on-7. We get to see 11-on-11. And it's not everything, because guys in shorts look a little different sometimes than the guys in pads. But this is kind of the first time you can see guys really pop. You know, I remember this time of year is when Jalen Warren kind of showed out. And some of those guys fizzled out too. You know, not everyone is a Jalen Warren. Some of them are Tuzar Skipper, but starting to emerge. And I think the other thing is you see the initial depth chart. No matter what Mike Tomlin says, who runs first team in minicamp does matter. Who runs first team at, you know, slot corner is going to matter, right? Is it going to be Beanie Bishop? Is it going to be someone else? Who runs backup nose tackle, right? All these positions and kind of where these guys are initially being slotted in and put, that matters. So I think you're looking at kind of just who's flashing, first of all, and then second, where's the alignment kind of going? Who's going where? The depth chart of it all of that matters. The kind of split of running back reps, I think that's going to be a big thing tomorrow, just kind of how much Warren gets, how much Caleb Johnson gets, Kenny Gainwell, I guess Cordero Patterson for some reason. But all of those things matter. So, you know, you're looking at those kind of things, but you can actually start to tell, I think, kind of guys who are going to be something or something of a factor this summer, and that does help.
Why is Cordero still here? Like, why have they just not made him a cap casualty? He has no spot right now. They have three running backs that are going to play. He can't return kicks anymore.
So that's a guy I probably don't expect to be here tomorrow. He wasn't here all last year, I think, for those. He showed up first state mandatory minicamp. Cordero, I don't understand why he's still here. Not only was he not a good running back last year, per kind of kick returns per return, kind of kick return yards per return, he was the worst in the NFL. He's the worst returner, worst kick return in the NFL.
That's what he was signed to do.
Right, and that's what he was signed to do. And listen, they have Kenny Gainwell now. Gainwell is a guy that can easily kick return. He's a good third down back. I don't expect Cordero Patterson to make this team. I'm not sure why he's here. I guess maybe insurance in case there's an injury or something of that sort, but I don't really understand why. They don't really need him anymore. They have 8 running backs, I believe, right now on the roster. That's a lot of running backs to have just to split carries, even with the second and the third team. So I don't really know, Austin. I don't know. I expect him to be released around the same time Larry Ogunjobi was, and obviously it hasn't happened.
If Will Howard has a good showing at OTAs, how much do you think an overreaction can be made for people saying that, oh, maybe Will Howard can actually be a guy that can play for them and start this year a couple of
games? Well, there's going to be overreaction.
There will be.
I mean, listen, if Aaron Rodgers isn't there, and we don't expect him to be there, obviously, because he hasn't signed the papers. If he's not there, then I think he's got a shot to get, you know, some real second team and maybe slip into even some first team reps here over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So I think that could be really important for him to just kind of showcase what he could do. But there's going to be a lot of overreactions. But I will say this. If they go into the season with Mason Rudolph as the starter, I think there's a real chance Will Howard does get a start or two, at least, at some point in the year, right? You can imagine that. Mason Rudolph is just okay. And then, you know, the offense is sputtering. They're looking for a spark. Boom, Will Howard. We've seen Mike Tomlin do that how many times now since 2019? He did it with Mason once with Duck. He did it to Duck again with Mason. He did it to Trubisky with Pickett. He did it to Trubisky with Rudolph. Like, he's done this many times before. He did it with Fields last year for Wilson. So he has gone back and forth between these guys before. So it certainly is possible, but there's going to be a lot of overreactions. But, guys, I can't tell you if Will Howard's going to start a game based on, you know, 10 OTAs reps. That's going to be crazy.
I'm not beholden to where you're drafted, but I do think it factors in a lot. Like, Antonio Brown, sure, was a 6th-round pick. Tom Brady, I think people that say, oh, well, Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. Maybe Will Howard can make a difference. Like, Tom Brady is an anomaly. Like, he is the biggest, what's the word, outlier,
yes,
that you will ever find in the 6th round of a draft. Sure, there have been guys that have taken in the later rounds that have been able to contribute. I think if Will Howard's career ultimately ends up being as a career backup, can step in and basically do some of the things that Mason Rudolph has done and won games in stretches, but ultimately does not show that he's a starting quarterback, that would be a good career for him. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if he becomes Mason Rudolph, that is a good career for a 6th-round pick. Mason Rudolph is a 3rd-round pick, and his career is a good career for a 3rd-round pick. Do you think a 6th-round pick becoming Mason Rudolph isn't a good pick? That is a great pick. You know, most guys like this do not become that in that round. Most 6th-round picks are out of the league in 2 years. Some of them don't even make their final roster.
Colin Holba, the long snapper, never made the team.
Right. He didn't make the team, but quarterbacks especially. You know, I can think of, go back through some of the late-round picks. Anyone remember Jake Rudock? Anyone remember Nathan Stanley?
Remember Jerod Holloman, the safety,
yes,
they took from Louisville that led the nation in interceptions?
I do. Yeah, that one was unfortunate.
I wanted them to take him really bad because I was like, look, the interception number, really good. He came in and I don't even think he made the team that year.
That's why box score stats don't mean everything, right?
Not everything.
But yeah, no, I just named like 3 names there because those guys were 5th-round, 6th-round, 7th-round picks. Guys, they're not in the league anymore. So, you know, Will Howard becoming a really long-term backup is really good. And if he becomes a spot starter or even a starter, it's exceptional. And so you shouldn't have this, you know, expectation of him being the franchise savior or being even a starter. It doesn't happen that often. But, hey, if he can even be Mason Rudolph, it's a great pick. And so that is really kind of the lens you need to view that through, I think. But there will be some people that, you know, love Will Howard. You have the young guy, so I understand it. The quarterback room right now is bleak. You need some glimmer of hope. He is that glimmer of hope because he's the unknown. He's the new kind of shiny diamond in the room. And so I understand where the optimism comes from. But if he is even Mason Rudolph, that is a great career for Will Howard. He's a 6th-round pick.
And every time I bring up Will Howard, there's always a texter or two that will always chime in saying that I'm just an Ohio State hater. So does that mean that I automatically don't like Cam Hayward, who I think is a Hall of Famer and I've met and is a really nice guy, or I don't think Jack Sawyer was a great pick in the 4th round? I like Jack Sawyer a lot. He could end up being a really good special teams player for them, maybe even get a chance to start. Like, come on. We'll throw that one out there, but I wanted to address that was thrown out there on the text line. You can chime in at 412-928-9370 if you'd like to join in on the conversation on the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Egger Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, Nick, the wide receiver room. It's very similar to what it was last year. Just replace DK Metcalf, a more productive receiver over his career, in the place of Pickens. Robert Woods is in. Roman Wilson, I like, but have a lot of questions about. Is the wide receiver room, as it's currently constructed, good enough to go into the season?
No. I mean, no. It's better than last year because Van Jefferson's worse than Robert Woods and DK Metcalf, in my opinion, is better than George Pickens. But it's marginally better. It's not going to be like a crazy upgrade. Woods is only better because he can block. Unfortunately, I just think Robert Woods is kind of done at this point. He doesn't have the athleticism he used to, but he's very physical and willing. I do like Calvin Austin, not necessarily as a wide receiver two, but as a wide receiver three. In fact, I would extend Calvin Austin, but that's another conversation
you would
for another day.
Hold on, you would extend Calvin Austin?
I would. I like Calvin Austin a lot. Good punt returner, really good slot receiver, really good deep threat. He's a valuable player. He's more than a gadget player. People look at his size and think he's a gadget player. He's a solid player. So I like Calvin Austin. Roman Wilson, I mean, complete wild card. We'll see. I think that's going to be one of the more interesting things of OTAs to me, actually, is going to be seeing how Roman Wilson looks. He looked really good at the end of last year. He looked really good to start training camp before he got hurt. We'll see how that kind of comes along. He's got a chance here to seize an opportunity. But that room's not good enough. I mean, you know, you got Calvin Austin as your wide receiver, too. And you got Robert Woods as your starting outside wide receiver across from DK Metcalf. Ideally, you know, Woods is a depth wide receiver four that can block and bring the gritty stuff. So there are options out there if they really wanted to. I guess, you know, they could look at the Keenan Allens, the Amari Coopers. But I think this is probably going to take longer than people think. You know, cut down day is where I would expect something like this to happen. If it doesn't happen, you know, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, something like that. So we'll kind of see, but it's not good enough right now.
Could they explore a trade for Ayuk again?
I mean, I'm sure they're going to look at it. Do I think it's at even the top five likeliest options? No. For one, I don't think it makes much sense for the 49ers because they traded Deebo Samuel. And there's a lot of unproven. I like Jawan Jennings, but like Pearsall is still pretty much a question. Jacob Cowing is there. There's a lot of questions in that room. Ayuk's still your wide receiver. Two, I mean, dude, this trade actually happening would require you moving a day two pick. And the question is, do you want to move one of those day two picks?
Really? I mean, I saw some reports that San Francisco would be fine moving him out just because of the salary and not coming off the injury.
I'm sure they would, but I don't think they'd take anything less than a third. I don't know why you would. We're talking about a guy in this prime of his career still, even if he's coming off the serious knee injury. We're talking about a guy, you're selling him at his lowest at that point. Why would you sell him for a fourth or a fifth? And then the year, you know, next year he could be elite still. And he was really good before the injury, even though the stats didn't say, you watch the film. He's getting open, so he was still really good. And so I think, you know, trading Ayuk, it could make sense, I guess, if he just rubbed them so wrong, and I think he probably did with his antics last year. But it's they're not going to do it for, I think, anything less than a third. I can't see it.
You have been somebody who's been a huge advocate of Courtland Sutton.
Yes.
And the idea that maybe the Steelers would be able to trade for Courtland Sutton and Denver would put him on the market. What's the latest that you've heard about him, and do you think that he's somebody that could be moved? Because he still hasn't gotten a contract extension from Denver, right?
No, but he's been at OTAs, so, I mean, maybe he's not forcing that.
So he's staying.
Listen, I haven't heard anything about that. That was a name thrown around before they traded DK Metcalf. Now that they've traded Pickens, could they circle back there and see? Sure. I mean, they should also keep an eye on the other guys in that room, Marvin Mims and Devon Vele. If one of those guys comes loose, I think they should go after them.
Yeah, but then again, are you fixing a problem by getting a guy that's another fourth wide receiver?
I mean, Vele was a wide receiver 2-3 flex last year when he played. So, you know, Mims is a kind of a deep threat outside threat. You know, are you fixing the problem necessarily? Probably not. Are you making it a stronger room, though? Absolutely. If you can get another skill set in there, and they don't have a Vele or a Mims on the roster, I think that's the thing. So if you're going to have, you know, a hodgepodge of wide receiver 3-4s, you want those guys to be as different as possible so you could split those reps up and put them in the right position. So that could make sense to me. And those guys probably wouldn't cost much if they were, you know, getting cut. So we'll see. But I would look at, you know, the guys I would look at to kind of be potential options for them. Obviously, I think you would look at the Packers. Could you get a Romeo Dubs or a Dontavian Wicks? I think that's probably your best case scenario. I'd keep an eye on the Buccaneers, a Jalen McMillan or a Trey Palmer if they come up. I think they could make some sense for you. I'd keep an eye on the Texans, Xavier Hutchinson, John Mechie. So there's a few names out there. Maybe the Colts, you know, does an Alec Pierce come loose? Someone like that. So these are all things that probably happen a little later and later down the line when we're through training camp and guys have either kind of emerged. Because last year, Denver unexpectedly cut Tim Patrick, became a really good player for Detroit. And then we saw Noah Brown get cut by the Cowboys and went to Washington and become a legitimate piece there. So this happens. There's too much wide receiver talent in the league for there to not be guys that are intriguing for the Steelers. So if it has to happen on cutdown day, it will. But I think we got to kind of look at the wide receiver needy teams, and there's a lot of them. So they're going to probably have to trade for that guy before, you know, the waiver wire opens up.
And it's not going to be Chris Olave.
No, I'd be stunned. I have not heard anything about the Saints being interested in moving Olave. Crowley was completely right. The Steelers did call, and they are interested in Olave. But the Saints are not interested in trading him, from what I've heard.
One more segment with Nick Faribault coming up next. Let's get more of Nick's thoughts on what a Calvin Austin deal could look like. And also, a message from the Cleveland Browns mayor to the Cleveland Browns. How could this at some point affect the Steelers? It was kind of odd what was said. We'll dive into it. It is 4:12. It's time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Logan has a headline, and we're back. The PM team, Austin Bechtold, your friend, City Limits, in on the Fan.